Welcome to This Green Earth, a weekly talk show on environmental issues, our relationships with and impacts upon it. I'm Chris Cherniak.
I'm Nell Larson.
And joining us by phone, because he is a school teacher and he's taking time out from his class to talk to us, is Nate Brown.
Good morning, guys.
Good morning, Nate.
Thanks so much for joining us. I'm assuming you're actually not in class right now.
Yeah, they're running around. They're okay. We're good. Got a little break this morning.
All right. Much appreciated you taking the time to call in and chat with us, because, like I said, Nell and I are big birders. There's lots of avid bird watchers around this town, and you're one of them. And you're kind of our go-to person when it comes to all things avian. And we wanted to chat with you about a couple things. First, you know, it's fall. Let's face it. This morning is
some
sad day. Sad indication that fall is here or arriving shortly. And so birds are probably beginning their, at least planning on their migratory efforts, either from Summit County or birds that will be passing through as they come from north to south. So wanted to get your thoughts on what birds we should be looking for. Well, and which ones actually migrate from Summit County? Let's start there. Which ones migrate here south from Summit County?
We're in an interesting spot here in the mountains, just with the elevation and the terrain and geography. But we do get some interesting birds that come in the spring and then usually take off this time of year. It's a pretty cool. There's an owl. It's called a flammulated owl. It's one of the rare ones in North America. Stops off in Utah nests. We get them up here on some of our trails quite a bit. Little tiny guy, and they should be taken off now after having some children. Hopefully, we have a good group of hummingbirds that come and go through the summer, which you can get up to 4 species here in Utah. But right now, kind of the area that's of, I'd say, probably the better spots are up on the trails and out on the reservoirs and water. You can get a lot of shorebirds, waterfowl, some migrating warblers coming through. So that's kind of what would be on the lookout right now.
All right. So what 4 hummingbirds? What varieties or what types?
So it's a great variety, actually. I mean, a lot of places around the country, you might get 1 or 2 species a year. So here we get a broad-tailed hummingbird, which has the purplish throat, if you see it on your feeder. Mm-hmm. You can also get the one that people really like is the rufous hummingbird, which is the males have that bright orange flavor, and they're pretty aggressive on your feeders.
Right.
You can also get... I should have said black tin. That's the one with the purple throat, And then broad winged is the one that has a reddish kind of bright red throat. And then you can get a really, really small hummingbird species, the calliope hummingbird, which is one of the smaller ones in all of the Americas. So that would be pretty unique. You probably would think it was a juvenile or young hummingbird, actually, if you saw it, but it's really one of the smaller ones that you can have in the world. So
Nate, I want to make like a quick sidebar here before we dig too deep into kind of some of these different species. So if people are interested in getting involved in birding here, or they are birding, but they're looking for a little bit more of a community or more information, like tell us about how to find information on what's here and who they can connect with, right? Because we've got like a local Audubon chapter, we've got eBird. So talk a little bit about what you and your community of birders use here to get started.
Well, there's some good little tours out at Swanner there that some people run.
Thanks for the good pitch. Yeah.
I think there's one Sunday, I believe. So
really? This Sunday?
I think it's Sunday,
right.
Yeah.
Is it? No?
So
right,
that's a good one to promote, and it's a great opportunity just for birders and people of all interest, any level to get into. A good resource you had mentioned is eBird, which is a free website that enables you to track what you see and just search and explore the world for bird species. You can get onto rare bird lists or county lists. You know, you can follow Summit County or the state of Utah or the United States on just tons of different levels what you're looking for with locations, species. Personally, a good resource is there's a group called Utah Birders, and they have you can get onto an email chain with them, and it updates certain events, sightings that are being seen around the state, rare birds and where to go. Another good resource is probably the Great Salt Lake Audubon Group. They have an email group. They have a lot of events and field trips that you can join up. So you kind of have to you have to put yourself out there a little bit, but it's an easy way to, once you get in and you meet some people, it's not too bad, and you hopefully make some friends and get out and see some birds. So, and learn what's out there. That's the best way.
Fantastic. You know, as you were kind of talking through these species and what we might see, I'm thinking there are probably people that are like frantically trying to remember all of this and figure it out. And
yes.
So it's good to have some of those resources in mind.
Yeah, I mean, the best way, if you're interested in birding or wildlife in general, is, you know, grab a field guide. There's a lot of different varieties of descriptions and talking about what would be in your area. That's another good thing to know. What birds might be on your feeders, and what you're definitely not going to see here, and especially in up in the mountains. And so that's a good start. So the field guides are good, and then just getting out with a set of binoculars and seeing species and learning what they look like and sound like. But it's also helpful if you can find a good guide or a group of people to help you through that.
Is there an app available that allows me to identify a bird based on call, such that if I hear a call, I could point my phone or something towards the call, and it would somehow give me some insight?
I don't believe so. The eBird group is run through Cornell University, their ornithology program, and a lot of it is just for research and, everyone that puts in a report that can help with the science behind why, you know, when species are migrating and where they're being seen and climate change and those sort of things. They do have an app called Merlin,
yeah,
which you can actually put one of your pictures or take a photo of a bird, and it tries to identify you. That's it's not the most accurate, but it's one of the easier ways to try to identify a species. The call would be phenomenal one. Maybe we should create that.
Well,
it's not,
I guess,
already out there. So
I was just thinking you could record the call and then take it back with you. And on a lot of these bird sites, they also include the bird's calls, so you can try to, you know, you have to do the work there to try to pin it down.
Yes, which is a fun challenge.
Okay, is it? Okay.
Yeah, you'd be amazed at some of the birders in this world, in our state, that know the different call. I mean, every bird has multiple calls in some cases, so it's amazing what people are able to identify.
Okay. We're speaking with Nate Brown about birds. Nate, you help set up and run the Christmas bird count, or participate in that every year?
Yeah, we've been doing that for, I don't know what it is, 6, 7, 8 years, something like that, in Park City here. We haven't picked a date yet. You and I, Chris, have usually been on the radio talking about afterwards, so maybe this year we can get back on and promote it to help get our community involved. And we just go out for the morning, a morning in December usually, and look for species in the snow and hopefully not storm. So
exactly. But let's circle back to the migratory birds. You say the hummingbirds are probably on their way south. Where do they go? Scottsdale? La Jolla? Somewhere good,
yeah,
I hope?
Phoenix area? No. They go. It's crazy. The hummingbirds, some of them cross over the Gulf of Mexico. In the Yucatan, parts of Mexico, South America. It's pretty unique. There's little species, but that's all birds. An internal clock or whatever it is, triggers them, and they decide to up and leave, whether they're in northern Canada, the United States, and they head back down to different climates, and then they come back in the spring again. So nobody really knows what triggers that. It's a pretty unique part of science and the birding world.
How about this past summer, you're out birding. Any unusual sightings?
Up here, like, not so much. I mean, it's just, this area is pretty cool because you just get on the trails, in, whether it's your neighborhood or Park City Mountain or whatever it may be, and a lot of birds are calling, and there's some very good color around here. This, like, around the state with, you know, the Great Salt Lake and a lot of the areas, Antelope Island, the, there's a causeway out there. There's a lot of water that birds pretty much starting in mid-August are heading, they're migrating back, and they need a place to rest or eat. So there was a brown pelican showed up down in the North Salt Lake area, which is very rare for Utah. We have the white pelicans here.
Right.
So that one's, I think it's been around for a couple weeks. There was a bird called a wandering tattler, which is a little bit larger of a shorebird. That showed up for about a week. That there's only been a few sightings of those in the history of Utah. So you never know kind of what we can get. Hopefully we'll see if this weather pattern we've had, this rain and stuff, might knock birds down or keep them here for a little while longer as they're heading back south. So could be a good time to get out and see some things.
So if I did see, if I did have an unusual sighting, I guess I could post that to eBird or these other local groups and then try to get some people to either confirm it, or then they would run out, drop everything they're doing, and go out and try to spot the bird themselves. Is that one way of how you confirm that there's a brown pelican? It's not
yes,
just based on one sighting. It's not like
definitely,
one
definitely, yeah. Yeah. I mean, the new age now is if it's kind of like if you don't have a photo of it, it's hard to trust what somebody might have seen. So a lot of people will just share photos, ask friends, use their field guides, use the apps to try to solidify what they had. And if they think there's something good, then share it, and other people start to go see. And usually it gets confirmed fairly quickly. From even if it's a not a rarity, it's great to ask people what you think you saw and try to learn more about what you might have seen or heard.
Like my experience, I emailed Nate because I thought I saw an oriole, a northern
yeah.
oriole down along the Provo River, but I also thought that perhaps it might have also been a redstart, somewhat similar tail, some coloring there. I'm novice enough that I wasn't be able to confirm. So I didn't take a photo of it, but I just asked Nate, emailed Nate, and 3 weeks later he responded to say, you know what, you probably saw an oriole, Chris, because red starts are pretty rare. Is that correct?
Yeah, I mean, just knowing your territory and yeah. what the common birds are, your kind of backyard birds or other things in regions, is that's an easy way to narrow a species down. But you never know what it could be in a non-breeding seasons, which they can have very different colors, the same type of birds. It could be a male or female. So that changes up what you could potentially have.
So anything unusual at Swanner now?
Swanner, I don't know. We'll be curious this weekend. It's you know, we've had a lot of dry weather recently, but the interesting thing here in kind of in our county is the reservoirs have been so high with the big snow season and the you know, we had a really wet spring, so there hasn't been a lot of shorebirds and shoreline that's dried up yet. So I think Swanner's probably in a good position to some of that water is opening up a little bit.
Yeah, some of those kind of like open wetland areas and
yeah.
flats surrounding the like the small ponds are definitely good hot spots for the shorebirds.
For the shorebirds.
Yeah.
Okay.
All right. Those little peeps.
So again, what's happening at Swanner this weekend for birders?
So this Sunday we have, and this is what Nate was referencing, there's an Avian Adventures, and we do like a series of these throughout the like spring and then the fall to hit migration season, and this is the last one of the year. It's this Sunday. It starts at 7 a.m. and you can register for that online through the Swanner website. So if you just go to the, you know, swannerecocenter.org or swannerpreserve.org, click on the calendar and then you'll see the event posting and you can take it from there. And it's a small group. You go out into an area where we don't take too many people just because the vegetation and the ecosystem's like pretty fragile.
Right.
Pretty delicate. And usually we get an incredible array of birds out there with the assistance of Nate and Kenny Frisch, who, you know, bring their scopes and their expertise to kind of be able to share all of this with you. And you'll get like, you know, a bird guide to use and binoculars to use. So even if you don't have the equipment yet, you can hop on board and we'll provide it all for
you.
Yeah.
Oh, that's great. All right. So, but you got to go online and register.
Yeah.
Spaces are limited.
Yeah. So, small group for this.
So do it now. And last question, Nate, do you work birding and birds into your classroom studies?
Not quite yet. Maybe I should more. I don't know how we'll do that. Try to get people to fly. How's that?
What is it that you teach?
I teach physical education.
Being active and
healthy. And
yeah, like a hummingbird. You know. Talk about how energetic
there you go.
Bananas hummingbirds are.
They can fly backwards.
That's right. They're like helicopters in that sense. And they travel thousands of miles on just some sugar and some protein.
Amazing.
Yeah, they are truly amazing species. So, all right, Nate, so thank you so much for joining us this morning on This Green Earth. We'll let you get back to class. We appreciate time. And you know what? We'll touch base with you perhaps prior to the Christmas bird.
That's right.
This year we'll
talk about it beforehand.
Before. How about that?
Before, yes. Love to.
Good planning on our part.
So, all right.
Thanks, Nate.
Thanks,
Nate.
Hey, thank you, guys.
All right.